Let's turn to Bruce Williamson from the campaign group Rail Future for some guidance on this. He's on the line now. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon, Matthew.
Well, I think one thing everybody here in the studio agrees is we'd like to see improvements to our railways. What is Grant Shapps promising in your view?
Well, he's promising 500 million. I'm inclined to agree that it won't go very far. Actually, let me just fly off a slight tangent here, because one of the things that we're worried about at Rail Future, okay, here's some good news. 500 million, reopen railway lines, you know,
great.
Reverse beaching. It's a very, very popular and populist move. Maybe it's going to shield some bad news. Maybe he's going to cancel
rail.
Two.
I hadn't thought, yes. Because I was looking at
news.
Some of the commentators have been saying, you know, it's a good distraction technique. Let's talk about reversing beaching while Northern Rail franchise sort of wobbles to the point of collapse. But you're quite right about HS2. I'd forgotten.
Yeah. You know, clearly that's in trouble. And there's a lot of guns gunning for HS2, particularly on the Tory benches. My best guess is it's going to be, you know, sort of slightly downgraded, or, you know, they'll extend it to Birmingham, but no further. But anyway, reversing beaching. Yeah, £500 million. I mean, it's quite right, you know, that would probably pay for one or two schemes. It doesn't go very far in reopening the thousands of miles that, you know, we'd like to see reopened.
Sorry, Bruce. Of those thousands of miles, I was born in 65, so I don't really... Yeah. I've never really experienced the difference that beaching's cuts would have brought in. But I was aware when I was living in Norwich for a while that the railway lines there are out into the sticks. I mean, the trains are few and far between, and it was difficult to imagine how even they could make money, even in the modern age. We're talking about reopening lines that were closed because not enough people were using them, they didn't get enough traffic on them. Are they viable, many of these routes that beaching closed?
Certainly many of them are, yeah. I mean, bear in mind, there's a couple of things to consider. You know, that the country has grown enormously in the last years. You know, we've got a whole, you know, you go to any small town and there's a whole load of new housing estates. The roads are congested. There's much more public awareness of green issues, and a rail transport is a green, clean form of transport, which, if it's electrified, can be, you know, entirely pollution-free.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the last 15, 20 years, rail passenger numbers have doubled. And they continue to rise. We're carrying more passengers now than we did before beaching, before all these cuts. So, you know, there is huge demand for rail travel. And, yeah, many, not all, obviously, some of the lines that were shut under beaching were complete basket cases.
Right.
Probably should never even been built in the first
place. Right.
But there are many, many examples of railways that would be, you know, viable if they were reopened.
So can I ask, this could be too big a question just to throw at you, but I'm going to do it anyway, Bruce. So, HS2, you've kind of dealt with already. At the moment, it looks like it's going to happen. Could be downgraded a few billion quid shaved off the price. I'm fascinated by the political argy-bargy that I believe is going on with regards to the prioritising of HS3 over HS2.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if you could tell me how much of HS3, as has been projected, would involve reopening closed beaching lines, or is HS3 entirely separate from beaching's lines?
Well, it's a combination lines and upgrades and reopenings, really. I mean, for instance, the Woodhead Tunnel, I think, is part of the deal. I mean, that's controversial because that's currently used for electricity, which makes it difficult to reopen for rail. But yeah, the idea with HS3 is to sort of, it's called the agglomeration effect. If you tie all these northern cities together with high-speed rail, it economically starts to behave like a big city.
Right.
And it then starts to rival London.
So I was thinking, are they thinking, kill HS2, put the money, or some of the money that was going to HS2 into HS3, combine it with this 500 million for beaching? Is that a possibility, that what we're seeing here are the first signs that the government's now moving towards HS3 as its priority rather than HS2?
I think that's entirely possible. Yeah. I don't, that's not my gut feeling of okay. what's going on. But actually, I think there is a, if you look at the cost-benefit analysis, the HS3 would perform quite a lot better than HS2.
There's also the political analysis as well, of yeah. course, which is Boris's pledge to help the communities that previous Tory governments had destroyed. What better way to do it than give them a railway that actually people want and need?
Yeah, I think it's an idea that's worthy of serious consideration, and maybe you're right. Maybe that is going on behind closed doors in Westminster, but I've not got a sniff of that.
Okay, and then what does Rail Future? What would they like? Your group? I mean, you're obviously obsessed with railways. That's your focus. what? I'm guessing you're keen on railways, then maybe not yeah. obsessed. But what is your vision for our railway network?
Well, I mean, our vision is a growing railway and a railway that runs efficiently. And in order to achieve that, you know, one of the things we often call for is sustained investment. One of the things we've had, you know, ever since, well, for the last 50, 60 years is this bizarre mix, and this is under governments of both flavours, is sort of mix of feast and famine, and, you know, it's on, it's off. I mean, we've had it recently with electrification, you know, it's on, yes, no, it's off, yes, yes, it's paused, no, it's yes. restarting. That is not good for the railway. It's not good for anyone, and it's very difficult to plan a railway on that basis. And, you know, I mentioned the fact that passenger numbers have doubled. Many, many of your listeners will be aware that there's a huge problem with overcrowding across the network, you know. And, you know, that requires investment, but it's got to be long-term and it's got to be sustained.
Have you got, just in terms of figures, any kind of ballpark figures for us to wrestle with? I mean, we're talking about half a billion, 500 million to revitalise some beaching lines. Possibly the government figure is 88 billion, I believe, for HS2. Critics say it could be over 106 billion. What do you think we'd need to put into our railways to actually get a decent network?
Well, it's a combination of money and time, because, yeah. you know, even if we were to throw a blank check at the railways right now, you know, you couldn't turn it around in an instant. So, like I say, it's this idea of sustained long-term investment is the only way. And, you know, it's how long is a piece of string? I couldn't possibly put a figure on it. But I suppose at the very minute, whatever we've got now, and more, please.
Okay. Bruce Williamson, thanks very much for setting out your store from Rail Future there.